This week on Everbank Jaguars Weekend, a challenging training camp and preseason has come to a close. We take a look back at the top storylines of the summer, and we'll look ahead to the 2017 regular season with head coach Doug Marrone. And we'll go behind the scenes with the roar of the Jaguars. All of that and more ahead on Everbank Jaguars Weekend.
This is Everbank Jaguars Weekend. Everbank, it's your money. Make the most of it.
I made a decision to name Blake the starter. I think that, you know, the first thing that I look at is to make sure that, you know, who's going to give us the best chance to win.
And so it is decided. Blake Bortles is the Jaguars' starting quarterback for week one. And away we go. And welcome into Everbank Jaguars Weekend. J.P. Shattuck with you. The Jaguars have endured a Doug Marrone training camp, and they've had a lot happen in those few weeks. Some joint practices with other teams. They've overcome some injuries, but most notably, a starting quarterback battle.
Every NFL team has issues during camp, but an unsettled quarterback position tops them all. That's what the Jaguars endured over the last couple of weeks as Blake Bortles and Chad Henne battled for the starting job. Marrone made the decision after the preseason week three game.
I made a decision to name Blake the starter. And nothing really is status quo on the team, meaning that, you know, you've got to go out there and perform, you know, at every position.
I've had to go through this once, and there's no way I'm going to ever let him do it to me again. I'm going to go play as hard as I can. I'm going to do everything I can to help this team win and play as hard as I possibly can so I don't have to go through that again.
With the situation clarified, the team can now focus on bringing their best for the week one game against the Houston Texans.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier, and there are a lot of big themes for this training camp and preseason for the Jaguars heading into regular season week one here. But the lasting legacy is the quarterback battle and how that all went down.
Well, there's a lot of themes, but there's only one big theme, and that's the quarterback battle. You know, Blake Bortles is starting, and from listening to all the, you know, the week leading up to that decision, I'm not sure, or I'm pretty convinced that Doug Marrone didn't have a good choice. He didn't have a choice that jumped out at him. He didn't have somebody who actually won the job and separated himself from the rest, and that's what you want. But going into this game, which is the Houston game next weekend, they needed somebody who can create, who can maybe get out of the way of a pass rush. Judging all the circumstance, Blake was the guy. I'm not sure that earned, but he's the guy.
He went to California with the looming specter of 2016 hanging over his head, right? Millions of dollars at stake, and I think all of us expected that he would come back here and we would see a guy who was ready to go into 2017. Well, I really don't have any confidence. I don't think many people do that we're going to see a massive progression from Blake Bortles. So it's up to him. So yes, the quarterback competition, you know, is the big story from camp. The big story going into the season is Blake's future. He will either show us pretty quickly that he can be the quarterback of the future, or the future becomes the future, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, unfortunately, this feels like something that it's not absurd to think it goes back and forth, because it's not like Blake won the job and Chad was way, way down here. I mean, this was a 6-5 game, bottom of the ninth, where the winning run scored on a wild pitch. I mean, this was not a blowout. So if things go bad, you can switch back and forth. That's not ideal, but picking your quarterback after week three is not ideal.
So we're going to see the whole thing that happened when Noah Brindise was a quarterback down in Gainesville back and forth all season. I don't even know was Terry Dean the guy who's competing with, who even knows? If that's the case, if you're right, then the Jaguars will have their pick of quarterbacks at the top of the draft.
A buddy of mine texted me.
Because that's the kind of season it could be.
Hashtag Brindise right after that game. And I didn't get the reference, but apparently it's not good.
Yeah, that would not be an ideal situation. Another big theme of this camp was the toughness that Doug Marrone wanted to get out of his football team. And how many padded practices in a row would they go? And then there was a couple of games in the preseason where you might have seen some fatigue. So how do you balance the toughness, finding that with keeping your team fresh?
I wonder if these guys could have played back in the day.
I don't know.
Right? When you went twice a day at 8:30 in the morning and 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm not buying it. I mean, a little tired, yeah. I'm just not buying that, because I have seen teams go out and play well in the preseason back when they had to practice twice a day in full pads, in the heat, day after day. I don't think you have to balance. I think you just have to find the toughest guys on the team and go.
Boy, I hope they were dead legs, Brian. Because week two and week three, looked like dead legs. You hope that had something to do with it. I think it had a little something to do with the first one, the Tampa game. If there is a way to freshen it up, you lighten up now going forward. You got but
taking care of players and making sure they have their legs is the science in the NFL these days. That's what they focus on. Now we're using dead legs in an era where taking care of players, I don't buy it. Find me the toughest guys. They may need to find some tougher guys if that's the case.
We'll see what happens week
one. Si, senor.
Yeah, it's coming quick, the Houston Texans week one. And there's more ahead on EverBank Jaguars Weekend. Jeff Lagerman gets in the film room with head coach Doug Marrone for a look at the defensive line. Plus,
I'm mic'd up, guys.
Jaguars defensive lineman Malik Jackson is mic'd up on the practice field. And we'll see what's cooking this week on Game Day Grub. But first, know your Jaguars. And this week we're talking with the guys about fads from the past.
You know, I would like to see back. I'd like to see the Zuba pants back. I remember those in the 90s, and I had several pairs of those, and those are comfortable, and those are cool. And I'd like to see those come back. I might bring them back.
Trying to bring back the overalls. You know, that's pretty cool. That's a nice little wave.
People actually walking up to each other in public, meeting one another.
The afro. So I can buy tons of, like, activator spray.
Maybe the Jerry curl. Just so I can, you know, rock a Jerry curl for once in my life.
Can you make my hair look like this? Oh, man, what you want to make your hair look like that for?
I don't know, maybe fanny packs. I mean, they're pretty, I mean, they're you know, they get, you know, get the job done.
Pockets in your pants are lame. Don't trip.
I'd like to see the fanny pack come back.
The trainer fad that I hope comes back are tall tees. I feel like that was the best time in life. You could just go buy the biggest shirt you could find and just rock it out till your heart drops.
Platinum jewelry, because it's a little cheaper than gold and silver.
I would say parachute pants, I guess.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Beyblades used to dominate that way back in the day.
Beyblade, Beyblade, let it rip.
What was that?
Beyblades.
Let it rip.
Jaguars Weekend is brought to you in part by EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com to see how much you could save.
And it's a fake, and right up the middle goes Corey Grant. He's got one man to beat.
One of the most memorable moments of the preseason, Corey Grant keeping a drive alive on a fake punt. That's an interesting coaching decision as well by head coach Doug Marrone. Welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. It's time to get into the film room. Head coach Doug Marrone's visit with Jeff Lagerman is presented by Cadillac.
Jeff Lagerman joined by head coach Doug Marrone. And Doug, first year as a head coach here, how nice is it that in free agency you were able to acquire a guy like Calais Campbell, not only a great football player, but a great guy to have in the locker room?
Well, I think that's what we talked about beforehand. You know, when you're talking about value of a player, it's very easy to have the value on the field. You can see that on film, but you're looking for what value you're going to get off the field, and he's been outstanding. He's a tremendous leader.
And you got to have that on the field moxie, play level, to have that off the field, don't you?
I do. I believe that as players, you look at players that are successful on the field, they have a better chance to lead, you know, in the locker room and how they handle their business, because players look to emulate them, you know, saying, okay, this guy's a good football player. How does he do it? And Calais is a great example of that.
Well, let's go back to the third preseason game, the Carolina Panthers, and McCaffrey, the eighth overall pick in the draft, puts a great move on Posluszny, but guess who's there to save the day?
Yeah, and there's a lot of space right there. You know, a nose gets washed. You know, Puz comes up here. It could be a little bit quicker, but you can see Calais really just take the tackle, handle him, press him back to the line of scrimmage, really watch the back and get off the block and make a play.
I just love how long he is, and he can throw guys aside. I mean, that's what 6'8", 300 does for you.
Exactly, exactly. He can extend those linemen away from him. He's strong enough to do that, create extension. You know, here he goes right now again. You know, really good eyes. You know, he's tall. You know, and it's very difficult for tall players. They have to play with they have to play extremely low. They have to be conscious of it. But again, Calais is tall right here, but he's able to see the play. He's able to scrape off you know, our nose that's coming in here with the play going to the far gap and then come off and make a play.
And I love the little cheat right there, right before the snap. That's a veteran move. And as a pass rusher, he's powerful, but he's also got this.
He's powerful. He's got a really good swat. You know, he's, again, like you said, he's long. So players, you know, balls have to go over the top of him. But again, he has great distance to the quarterback because he can reach out, create fumbles, you know, create disruption, and also on PATs and field goals. You have to watch out for where he lines up.
Well, thanks, Doug, and I'm looking forward to watching him play this year.
Great, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Let's get back onto the field now. Malik Jackson, the Jaguars defensive tackle, enters his second season with the team after signing a big-time free agent deal a couple of years back. Year two for Malik equals more talk for Malik Jackson. He's mic'd up on the practice field in this Baptist Health meeting.
Give them what they want.
Let's go.
Dogs on three. One, two, three.
Dogs.
Still a sack. Still in the quarterback's lap, Abe. That's all they can do. They can't pass block. My bad, coach. I shut up. My bad.
Trying to look at their stances, bro. I don't, not that I don't get it, but Sweezy looks like he's pulling every time.
That's all competitiveness. It's a friendly competitorship.
You ain't trying to take the man's job in front of you, man. You don't want
facts.
That enough.
That's what I'm saying. But you know when you get in that game, you're going to thrive.
Hold on now. Come on, man.
Let's go, baby.
I'm all in his face. Get the hands out of my face! You saw the hands to the face?
It's a brick. Got riled up this morning, got riled up in practice, and riled up. Hey, break it down.
Just make sure when we come out tomorrow, they ain't getting no get back, all right?
Let's go.
Hey, back beaters on three. One, two, three.
Back beaters. Breaking backs, baby.
There's still more to come on Everbank Jaguars Weekend. Up next, a behind-the-scenes look at the making of the roar of the Jaguars calendar. And we'll see what's cooking this week on Game Day Grub.
Turn up, Tay. Turn up. Don't stop. Keep going.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, Smoot, I'm going to get there. Let's go. Meet me there.
Jags second-year defenseman Yannick Ngakoue mic'd up. Check out Jags Wired each week on Jaguars.com. And welcome back to Everbank Jaguars Weekend. It's time to get into the kitchen for Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. Angie Vaselli and Chef Tony, well, they've got a special treat for week one.
Welcome to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. We're here in a Dreamfinders Homes model in Long Field Preserve, which is a natural gas community. And Chef Tony and Publix are cooking up some amazing shrimp and grits. Let's get to it.
Oh, you know what? We're bringing this one close to home. Mayport shrimp are available in the store. Why not cook them down in a way that we love them, right?
It smells so fantastic.
We have some nice large shrimp right here. I want you to hit it with some salt and pepper. Don't be afraid of the salt, right? They live in salty water, right? There you go. A little bit of pepper in there for me.
Perfect.
Awesome. I'm going to start mixing these up. And we're going to turn back over here to the stovetop. That way we can get the cooking these down.
Awesome.
So if you'll slide that pan right over this heat for me.
Here?
There you go. Yeah. Oh, you see that wonderful flame too? When we put it over, we didn't have any extraneous smoke coming up. That's from the clean burn of natural gas that we have. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing here. So
I've had both. I've had gas and electric, and there's nothing like cooking on a gas stove.
There is not. There truly is not. It's the best thing for a cook to cook on, and no matter what. So we have in here, we have our components. We have a low country boil. We have corn. We have celery. We have onion. We have garlic. You know what we don't have?
Shrimp.
Get it
in there.
A little shrimp in there. Go ahead, mix that around. And we're going to cook this.
These cook pretty fast, right?
They do, about 3 to 4 minutes. And we're looking for some pink color to happen. What else we have in here? A little bit of liquid crab boil. And we have some Old Bay seasoning as well, just to kind of help it move its way through.
That's why it smells so savory and yummy.
Yeah, that's what goes in the boils, you know? And country sausage, that wonderful flavor that you get from country sausage, the spice. Now, we do want to cream this a little bit. And what we're going to do is we're going to use a yogurt to get our cream in here that we can actually cook with. So this is a 2% Greek yogurt. If you'll go ahead and fold that in.
That's a healthy choice.
Well, that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we can enjoy these decadent things in a healthful way. That way we can just continue to eat them and rotate them through our diet. So you're going to mix that in it'll cream itself out a little bit.
Am I doing this right?
Yeah, just kind of move it around some.
I'm trying.
And that's all it's going to take. And in minutes, what we're going to have is a Low Country shrimp and grits.
Awesome.
That's certainly a Shadrick family favorite. And for the full shrimp and grits recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. Let's get back on the field, or on the sidelines at least. The roar of the Jaguars cheerleading team is part of the fabric of Game Day at Everbank Field. And recently, we had a chance to go behind the scenes at their 2018 calendar shoot. Take a look. For the Making of the Roar television special that's coming up in October. There's still more to come. Up next, a look ahead to the start of the regular season. And stay with us on Everbank Jaguars Weekend.
We've got to learn to be accountable to each other, the guy on the right and the left of you. That's what helps win championships.
Head coach Doug Marrone in a team meeting early in training camp, setting the tone for what was to come over the next few weeks. And we welcome you back to Everbank Jaguars Weekend. The highly anticipated 2017 season is here. A lot of changes. Coughlin's back. Marrone's the head coach. All the quarterback stuff is done. Blake's going to start the season. Finally, we can roll the ball out and play some ball.
Well, and I think with the last two preseason games where starters played a lot, there was some things happened that were concerned. The quarterback stuff happened, and maybe a little bit of the giddiness of early training camp wore off for some followers of this team. But they haven't played yet. And a lot of the things that you felt good about going into training camp, meaning the defense, meaning some of the playmakers on offense, those things really didn't get a chance to show in training camp or preseason. So that's what I'm looking forward to as this thing opens, how much of what we talked about offseason is going to be real.
For me, it's guys like A.J. Camp. Right, I was looking at 2017 saying he was fine as a rookie in 15. He regressed in 16, but with Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach, who's well-regarded in the league, and Doug Marrone as the head coach, let's see what A.J. brings to the table. And a lot of the enthusiasm that I had for them being better and running the ball was based on him. I haven't seen it. I don't think anybody has. So I'm looking at him in particular, just a microcosm of the whole team, and saying there's guys like that and Patrick Omame and Blake Bortles. And hey, we got to see some growth here. You know, you hope to see it in the preseason. If we didn't see it, maybe it happened. You better see it on opening day.
Whole offensive line needs to growth happen fast.
There are some guys who are capable of playing better. Haven't seen it yet. Doesn't mean they can't. Yep. That's something to focus on.
Quick thought here. We'll find out quick about this Jaguars team as well. Houston, week one.
Tennessee, week two, the two teams really in the division that are the strongest right now.
Well, and last year, if you go back to the last three games, the Jaguars had a 2-touchdown lead on the Texans in Houston, but the offense couldn't function, they couldn't hold it, and they lost to Tom Savage. They come back here on Christmas Eve, and they beat the Titans, who were playing for something, and then they go again. Same story in Indy. They have a 2-touchdown lead. They can't hold it. I have the belief that they can play well in the division based on the way they played the last three games of last year, and they're a more talented team in that case.
Got to rush the passer, got to protect the quarterback in these first 2 weeks. It's key.
Block J.J. Watt, too. That's important.
And all the rest of the guys for Houston as well. The Jaguars and the Houston Texans kick off the regular season next Sunday, and we'll see you next time on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.